Kids, I'm so glad you're in the room with us this morning. I need your help in this message. If you are under the age of 12, can I hear you yell, amen?
Amen.
All right, if you're under the age of 12, can I hear a little bit louder, amen?
Amen.
All right, that's what I'm looking for. I need your help this morning. So kids, when I give you something to do, I just need you to do it quickly. Are you ready? Are you ready, kids? All right, good. Good, we're gonna keep you on your toes in this service. Hey, I'm calling this message, as you're taking notes this morning, Glory on the Loose. Glory on the Loose. If you've been with us at any time throughout 2024, you know our vision for this year, our spiritual emphasis is the phrase, Glory on the Move. We've been talking about how God is moving to restore us, that we could be his people in his presence, experiencing his glory. You and I have, what Romans tells us, fallen short of the glory of God. Fallen short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark, we've missed the bar, we sense that in our spirit, it's called conviction, but there, praise God, is a plan to restore us. Now, there was a moment where we experienced separation from God in the Garden of Eden. This experience was called sin, and because of sin, we were put out from the garden, cast out of paradise. And you, spiritually, you were there and I was there. You were Adam, you were Eve, and you were sent out of the Garden of Eden. And praise God, it's a good thing we were cast out of the Garden of Eden because our sinful condition made us unable to handle the perfect presence of God, to handle the glory of God. Can I tell you something today? God's glory is dangerous. It's explosive. He has high voltage holiness that can strike you and strike me and shock us and burn us up because that's how good and perfect he is. In his presence, darkness can't even come 1 inch inside because God's perfect radiant light. We walked out of that garden into a broken world, but the love of God was in the driver's seat and he's been rolling out this plan to bring us back into restored relationship. First to be near us, then to be with us, and finally, today, on Easter Sunday, with the tomb rolled open, to be in us. You're with me today, right? There's some Easter joy in the house? I have joy this morning because nails couldn't keep him down, the grave couldn't keep him in, hell couldn't keep him out, he reigns, and he has a word in power to apply to our lives. Let me take you into scripture today. How did God's glory draw near to us? Well, God drew near through this temple sacrificial system where people could come close to him. In his temple, there was a place called the Most Holy Place. Some people call it the Holy of Holies. And in this place, the manifest presence, the glory of God would come and rest. The problem was, we couldn't go be with God in his holy presence. So God called the people to create a veil. Somebody say veil. Say a better veil. Create a veil, and not just any veil, not just any curtain or window dressing or shower curtain. This was the strongest piece of cloth on the planet. Exodus 26 says, make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen with cherubim woven in by a skilled worker. Hang the curtain from the clasps and place the Ark of the Covenant behind the curtain. The curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. Now, historians have told us that Herod increased the height of the temple to 8 stories and increased the length of the curtain to 75 feet. Yaakov, the historian, tells us a few things about the veil. First, it was 75 feet tall. That is the height of 2 school buses stacked long ways on top of themselves. Or, for those that like to go shopping, it's the length of the average supermarket aisle, 75 feet long. We also know that it was a hand's breadth thick. That's as thick as your hand, average hand's breadth about 6 inches thick. Already, linen is stronger than cotton, it's stronger than silk, it's stronger than rayon, so we have thick linen, woven, thicker and thicker, till 6 inches. You know, the strongest human being can only rip through linen that is 2 inches thick. And this was a 6-inch cloth. Now, the third thing we know from Yaakov is that the veil took 300 priests to hang it up. That's how heavy it was. You know that old joke, how many priests does it take to hang up a curtain? Yeah, well, it's 300. And you know what, kids? Here's where I need your help. Poke your parents' muscles right now and say, are you strong enough to rip that? Are you strong enough to tear that? The veil was protective. God was saving us from being destroyed by his glory, his perfect presence. Think of it this way. Unbearable glory, unterrible veil. Unbearable glory, unterrible veil. But also, this veil was a physical representation of a spiritual problem. There was something wrong in my spiritual condition that I couldn't be in the perfect relationship with God that I was created for. Hebrews 9:7 says, only the high priest could enter the inner room, and only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people. Only the high priest, only once a year, never without blood. If you do this, then God's presence will remain near to his people. So this is how God accomplished his nearness. But then, about 2,000 years ago, God sent a perfect sacrificial lamb. Not an imperfect, not a weak offering, a weak sacrifice. He sent the perfect sacrificial lamb to come and not just be near us, but be God with us. The Bible tells us we have seen God's glory, the perfect image of the Father in Jesus. He lived among us for 30 years, and then that perfect high priest went beyond the veil. He went to the perfect presence of God, and he offered a sacrifice himself, one sacrifice forevermore. I think that it can be difficult for us to totally understand this, but let's look at exactly what happened when Jesus died. At his final breath, the world experienced darkness and earthquakes, and something else happened in Matthew 27. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and even the graves opened up, and many dead people were resurrected and walked around the city. Can you believe that? Dead lungs breathed again. Dead legs walked again. Grave clothes were thrown into the laundry bin for the first time ever. When Jesus died, at that moment, this veil was torn from top to bottom immediately in two. Why did the veil tear? Well, to understand that, we have to throw it way, way back to the moment God showed himself to old grandfather Abraham and told him to look up at the stars. He gave him a promise and said, I'm gonna make for myself a chosen people in restored relationship. I'm gonna give them a promised land, and I'm gonna accomplish it all through a promised Messiah, through the perfect sacrifice. And then God shows up and he does something amazing to mark that moment as special and show us he means business. Genesis 15 says, the Lord said to him, bring me a sacrifice, cut it in two, and arrange the halves opposite each other. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, remember when Jesus was on the cross from noon to three, what happened? Darkness fell. Well, back with Abraham, when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. Fast forward to Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. Children, squeeze your parents and say, are you getting this? The sacrifice of Jesus tore the veil. The tearing of the veil at the moment of Jesus' death symbolizes that the shedding of his blood was enough. It was a sufficient sacrifice for your sin and my sin and the sins of mankind. The only way into the glory is through the blood of Jesus. Jesus has turned inaccessibility into intimacy. He's turned glory waiting into glory running. He's taken a holy ground room and turned it into a holy ground kingdom. In Jesus, at the moment of his death, when he paid your ransom, when he paid your price, all of a sudden, glory was on the loose. Not only were we cast out of paradise, but we sang it earlier, paradise was flung wide open. Praise God. We see it in Jesus' death. because he was abandoned, because he was forsaken, because he was exiled, cast out of the city to die on a hill, put out of God's presence, you can come in. He has demolished every stronghold, and he has dismantled all the hostility between mankind and God. The Waymaker has torn through the fabric of space and time to open a way into paradise for you this morning. Isn't that amazing? He has ripped through everything except for your free will and your unbelief. On God's end, he's torn every veil. 2 Corinthians 4 says that there are still veils that exist, self-made separation, veils that we have put up to separate us from God. But the good news, even though it is hidden from unbelieving people because Satan, the god of this age, the god of today, the god of 2024, the god our culture worships, the god our culture celebrates and follows, has blinded the mind of unbelievers so they cannot see God's glory. That's what 2 Corinthians 4 tells us. But it says this. It says, but God, who makes light shine out of darkness, can make his glory shine in our hearts. He, with overcoming resurrection power that raised him from the grave, can help us overcome our veils of unbelief today and restore us to him. God tore his veil. Let's talk about yours. I have a little helper here today, a little cloth here. And I want to tell you that in the first experience this morning, I underestimated the strength of this cloth, and I was a little cocky when I came up to rip it. And so I've worked out in between services, and I'm ready to use my muscles a little better. But I want to think about your veils. God has torn through his veil. Let's talk about your veils. Many of us justify our separation from God. We make excuses, and we think we are exempted and excused from God's glory. I want to talk about four veils that exist that are common in the hearts, in unbelieving hearts, that we have to overcome so that we can live the life of faith. The first one I want to talk about, your separation, it might be doubt. Doubt. You may be saying, I just can't live by faith. I won't live by faith because I'm not sure about everything. I have questions. I have questions. Can I tell you that everyone has questions? Every life is a life full of questions. The difference between unbelief and being a believer, the difference between living by faith and living in trusting yourself, is that you're not living by your questions, you're living by exclamation points. And the exclamation points are this. We can say we know that we know that we know that Jesus is the creator, he's the savior, he's the Lord, and he's the king, that he's coming back again, that there is a design and purpose for all of this. When you're able to stand on that, then you're able to live the life of faith that carries its questions on a journey of trust. You can say, God, from the revelation of your word to your world, from Moses to melodies, from the gospels to the galaxies, I know that I know that I know that you are alive. He's given you enough to believe. Let the Holy Spirit help you today. Tear that veil of doubt. Yeah, there it is. And can I tell you? Amen. I hope you're clapping for the Lord and not me, because just makes me feel even weaker. All right. There's more veils I want to touch on today. Maybe you walked in this room this morning and you have the veil of hurt, a veil of hurt that you've placed between you and participating in God's glory. And you're coming into this room this morning and you're saying, I actually don't have to participate in God's glory because I have a doctor's excuse. I have a doctor's note. Can I tell you that you cannot give a doctor's note to the great physician who's written you a healing note? Can I tell you that your scar tissue is not thicker than the veil was? And if God can tear that, then God can heal you? That it's not an excuse. Do not let what has happened to you keep you from living how you were made for, keep you from what you were made to experience, the glory of God. I'm sorry for the offenses that have come to your doorstep in this life. We have a vulnerable, fragile life, and we all experience the curse of sin in this broken world. But do not let what has happened to you keep you from what you were made for. Take your hurts and give them to the Lord today. He can heal you. I want to tell you that there's another veil, and it's the veil of religion. And I'm going to step on a toe here, and if it's your toe, thank you for letting me step on it right now, because you need me to. I'm your friend. I'm here as your friend. If you have limited your faith to the right facts but have stopped short of a relationship with God, then you have limited God to just knowledge. You've left God on a scantron. You've reduced him to just some facts and some right answers. It's like you went to Sunday school and you got the candy, but you missed the spirit. And if that's you, you've experienced a ritual or a rite of passage in a spiritual moment. Maybe you've experienced a confirmation class, or you've walked out some sort of a practice that the church handed you, but you left God in that box and you did not invite the power of God into your life to live obediently, depending on him every day. You have reduced God. You have made God so small. Do not let religion keep you from the Lord. You know, there's somebody in the house today, I just sense it, that you know the scripture. You were fed the scripture when you were young. You could come up on the platform and say the scripture today, but you couldn't preach it because you're not living it. Because at some point along the way, it was easier to fade into the culture than it was to be obedient. God has so much more for you. He is invested in you. You were trained up the way you could grow for a reason. For a reason. And God is calling you back today. Don't let that daily bread be stale in you anymore. Whatever is turned into lip service, come back with true worship this morning and rip that veil of religion. And you know, there's another veil. There's another veil, and I have to say it because it's the biggest one. It's the big one. It's idols. It's the veil of our idols. Maybe you found a less powerful but more comfortable God to serve. You found door number two. Sure, the grave's open, but there's no cross on the way to door number two. You don't have to deny yourself in every twisted feeling that beats in your heart on the way to door number two. Door number two has comfort and it has gratification. And maybe for you, it's money. Maybe for you, it's a relationship. Maybe for you, it's pleasure. Maybe for you, it's some sort of stronghold in your life that you're serving rather than serving Jesus. But if you're honest with yourself today, no achievement, no pleasure, no comfort will satisfy your eternal soul. And I know that for a fact today, because if you're honest with yourself, you'll say, I am unsatisfied worshiping something I was not made in the image of. There's no glory in worshiping an idol. And you were made for the glory of God. The biggest idol is self. If you're in the house today and your self-worth has taken this improper, idolic place and you're sitting on the throne of your heart, your will, your way, and you're not doing life God's way, can I tell you that that is an idol that you need to tear through this morning? You are valuable, but the reason you're so valuable and you can have so much self-worth and dignity is because the blood of Jesus. That's how much you're worth. You are worth God sacrificing his son. Your self-worth is less than God's worthiness. If you're the greatest person in the room you're in the wrong room, and you need to step onto holy ground where God is burning and you are falling before him in worship. You need to tear through the idol, the veil of idols today. Praise the Lord. At Jesus' birth, God's favor rested on mankind. The angels sang it and they proclaim it. Peace on earth and on man who on whom God's favor rests. That was Christmas. At Easter, God's glory is coming to rest on mankind and to rest in mankind. Can I tell you what? At the end, that's Christmas. This is Easter. At the end, God's glory is coming to confront every single soul. Every single soul. Some of us will have the blood of Jesus on our souls. We'll be new creations, good houses, good temples for his glory to dwell in. His glory is coming. It came from a burning bush to a burning mountain to a burning altar, and now it's coming to burning hearts in Baltimore and in this room right now. Young and old, listen to me this morning. In the last hour, at some point, you have started to sense God's glory knocking on the other side of the veil. He rose again with overcoming power so that you can come to him today. Somebody is in this room right now. You came here this morning uncomfortable. You wouldn't call yourself a church person. You're aware of your moral failings, and maybe you thought that when you stepped inside of this house that a lightning strike would happen and God would zap you. Can I tell you that God is here this morning, but he's not here to condemn you. He's here to restore you. And the reason that I come to Trinity, not just on a special holiday service, but the reason I come here week in and week out is this. It's that, not that I wonder if God is gonna zap me when I walk in the room. It's because I'm expecting him to. I'm counting on it because I know his glory is on the move and the Holy Spirit power is coming to fill my life. And his presence is here to transform me. And he's here to help me overcome so that I can win the battle of my marriage, and I can win when I'm fighting for my kids, and I can win when I'm fighting for sobriety, when I'm fighting for peace, when I'm fighting for obedience, when I'm fighting for purity. The Holy Spirit is here and he is ready to empower me. I'm so glad you're in the house today, and you need to understand he's not in here waiting to condemn you. He's waiting to restore you. There's no sin. There's no length of time. It's greater than Jesus's blood. The enemy may be in your mind right now. There may be supernatural spiritual warfare happening right between your ears. He may be saying that it won't work for you. It worked for them, but it won't work for you. Jesus's blood won't work on you. Everybody else in this house, they've led a G-rated life and you've led an R-rated life, and it will not work for you. First of all, I wish that was the case. That is not true. And God is powerful enough to save each of us. It doesn't matter what type of life you've lived, because all of us were on the wrong side of the veil. Every single one of us was on the wrong side of the veil. And when Jesus tore it, he opened the way for everyone, for every single one of us. Would you stand this morning? Listen, this is just a great opportunity this morning. We're celebrating Christ's resurrection, but we're about to celebrate your resurrection. Shame may be telling you that you have done so much, you can't be redeemed, but God is saying you are so loved. Shame may say you've gone too far, but God says, I'm gonna cast your sin as far as the east is from the west, because it's not about how far we've fallen. It's about how far Jesus has come to bring us back. I'm gonna give you an opportunity to receive what God is freely offering today, what he paid the highest price for. If you didn't need it, he wouldn't have done it. But it's there and it's available for you right now. Would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, as we bow our heads and lift up our hearts to you, we recognize that you can be our Savior because you took on our sin. And Lord, we repent. And God, we say, we're aware, Lord, that we have willingly rebelled and fallen short of your glory. And we need you, Jesus. We need you to stand in the gap for us, to tear that veil and restore us. And God, for those of us that are struggling with idols, we haven't fully surrendered our lives. We've created our own religion with a little bit from your word and a little appreciation for Jesus, but not true submission. God, I pray that you would help that person experience the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome their unbelief, tear through their idols. God, tear through their doubts, tear through their hurts, Jesus, tear through their religion, not be satisfied with just a drop, but Lord, dive into all of you this morning to live that all-in surrendered life. Lord, I thank you that you're redeeming, that you're adopting, that you're resurrecting, that you're delivering people right now in this moment. I pray you'd help us not just take this awesome first step, but take the second and the third and the fourth and get connected and get some believers around us and do growth track. Lord, take us on a journey with you, not just over a starting line. Jesus, we love you and we thank you for being the resurrected king in this room where the devil has no power. In Jesus' name we pray these things, and all God's people said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you give your hand, give a hand clap for those that just received Jesus? Praise God. I'm telling you, we're thrilled. We're big thrilled for everybody that just took a step of faith today. You have got to go by the Hello Spot. Let us give you a free Bible. Let us meet you and learn your story, connect with you, and give you support. Listen, you could come up front and cry for 3 hours today and then never come back. God has more for you than that. He wants you to take your next step. Your future is bright. Your best days are right ahead of you in Jesus.